Okay. I'm calling the meeting back to order of JAC. It's about 5 o'clock. What we're going to do now is we're going to go to the state-funded capital construction bill. Don's going to walk us through it, and then we've got about, oh, it looks like about 12 or 13 amendments. We're going to work that bill tonight with these amendments and get that bill kicked out tonight. And then at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, we'll start on the budget bill, because we've got this many amendments, and for those on the internet, about a half inch of amendments for the next round robin. And not all of us have seen all these amendments yet, so we want to have a chance to take a look at them. So we'll be working CapCon tonight. We'll start up again on the budget bill 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Don, the floor is yours.
Mr. Chairman, before you should have 18 LSO 0424, working draft 0.5. That is the bill. The committee will be presented.
And Don, as you're working your way through the bill, oh, we've lost a bunch of interest.
We might change our minds.
Yeah.
Let's do schools.
Don, as you're taking us through the bill, can you plug in the proposed amendments? Would that be too difficult, or do you want to go through the bill and then work back on it?
Mr. Chairman,
yeah,
I think I can incorporate that.
Okay, that'd be great. Thank you.
So working draft 0.5 should be before you. Fundamentally, this is different than we've been talking about for the past couple of days. The state-funded capital construction bill is like any other bill. It is not a mirror bill, so it'll go through the process, be assigned to a one chamber's committee, followed by floor work, the second chamber in eighth.
Does it need to have the two-thirds introduction?
Mr. Chairman, it does.
Okay.
Also, key differences from the bill you've been looking at is there are permanent changes to statute. This is not just effective for the next biennium. It is not limited to 2 years, but it is limited in scope to just capital construction activities. The short title takes up through page 1 and the top of page 2. Section 1 is the creation of new statutes. There's only one two statutes created. The first one it lasts for about 5 pages. Mr. Chairman, it creates a state – excuse me. A student dormitory capital construction loan-making mechanism. This is an excerpt of the Build Wyoming program that was adopted by the Management Council on Saturday. However, it is limited to $30 million. The Build Wyoming program has $250 million for projects like this and another $250 million for just roads and streets. This excerpt of the program is intended only for student dormitories at community college campuses. In order to qualify, it begins on paragraph 2, the bottom of page 3. The community college district must demonstrate a need, and on the top of page 4, the ability to repay that loan. Paragraph 3 provides for the definition of significant demonstrated need. And that is based upon student enrollment and current housing capacity. If you recall, the motion was for Laramie County Community College. LCCC never appears in this bill. There's also no other college that meets this criteria. So
is that by design?
It is by design, yes. We tried to incorporate the desires and wishes of the committee by restricting it as such. Paragraph 4 provides for the loan interest rate, and it is set at 0.1% times the years of the duration of the loan. So if you have a 10-year loan, it would be a 1% interest rate. If you have a 15-year loan, it would be a 1.5% interest rate.
And, Don, that's the same as the draft bill in front of Management Council, right?
Mr. Chairman, yes. These are all mirror provisions. The maximum term of a loan is 25 years. And that is provided for in paragraph 5.
So, Don, my question is, Under the proposed, the current management council bill, would a community college qualify under either one of those tranches? What they went under the road, but would they qualify under the 250?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, they would.
Okay.
Paragraph 6 provides for the adequate security, a pledge of revenue streams, or some ability to pay back the loan. The SLIB board can also require other security devices deemed advantageous. Paragraph 6 provides for annual financial statements to be submitted. Paragraph...
Representative Burkhart, if you're going to speak, turn on your mic, please.
Okay. It's late in the day, Mr. Chairman. Sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 5, line 21, Management Council changed the wording from cumulative financial audit, and I can't remember the exact odd term they used.
Yeah,
I think
Chairman,
they just went with financial audit or something like that. They dropped cumulative.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct, and we can get the exact language. I think it was a comprehensive review, and they took out the words cumulative audit, so you wouldn't necessarily have a CPA audit.
And I guess, that, Mr. Chairman, that would be a conforming amendment.
So let me get the process straight. Management Council has a bill in front of them. They are going to work on it tomorrow night?
Mr. Chairman, they've adopted it.
They've already passed it?
Yes.
Then why are we dealing with this here?
Mr. Chairman, you met before they took up their bill. So this was adopted in the middle of January before they developed their bill.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Chairman, paragraph 8, this harkens back to 1980s AG opinion when Justice Rooney indicated, I believe, that there may be some need for an election if there are any loans taken out of the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund. Since that time, LSO has put in a provision like this or similar to this, at least in the modern history, to give that discretion to the Attorney General if he deems an election is necessary. That the voters in the district would be, quote-unquote, borrowing funds under the appropriate provisions of the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund, he can deem an election. I don't believe he has, or prior AGs since Justice Rooney, have required an election for similar public purpose investments.
However, that would be the fallback to end up paying for these things if the college couldn't raise enough funds to pay back the loan, they'd have to end up going to the property tax, wouldn't they?
Correct. So the language here is consistent with our prior, and it's consistent with the Management Council. For lack of a better term, it shifts that decision from the legislature to the AG.
Okay.
A loan origination fee of 1% is required, and there is a those funds are deposited in a loss reserve account. On the top of page 7, there is a required report to the Joint Appropriations Committee in case of a default in the payment and the loss reserve is insufficient to cover the default. In that case, the SLIB board shall submit a detailed report and request an appropriation to restore the balance of the loss to the PMTF. There's an opportunity in paragraph 10 for refinancing of up to 30 years, an additional 1% refinance loan origination fee. Page 8, subsection C limits the use of funds to the infrastructure need, not directly to any infrastructure needs beyond student dormitories, meaning it's exclusive to resident housing.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And just to clarify in this whole section we're dealing with, there's nothing in this that's inconsistent with what the bill at Management Council. Is that what I heard correctly? that there's no inconsistencies between the two.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Summers, I believe that's correct, that there's no inconsistencies between the two. The Management Council's bill is more, it's longer, it addresses more issues, it provides for more types of loans. It also brought in one provision that this bill drafted not, and that was to address the what is arguably a lower than normal interest rate and the prudent investment standards and the fiduciary duty of the treasurer. The bill makes a specific finding that Management Council approved that the return on investments, while it might be lower than other investments, arguably, depending on the return, rate of return that the state's getting, that there are other factors that make these a good investment for the state. So it had some language in there to try to address and specify why these investments are good investments for the state of Wyoming and why they're prudent. And that language could be added to this bill if the committee desired it.
And then just, Mr. Chairman, just to follow up, I think the question you had. So if we went for, this still could be done, what's being done here based upon that other bill. In other words, it's duplicity, right? It's not duplicitous. It's
duplicative.
Duplicative. Thank you.
Duplicitous only applies to the House side.
Mr. Chairman, I would maybe describe it as in addition. So $250 million additive, $30 million that this bill does.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you.
Now, could LCCC or another community college file for a loan under that program? Yes.
And Mr. Co-Chair, we have the issue of whether or not that bill passes, and so there's reasons to put it here. But in terms of whether or not it's a prudently wise investment, if you're talking about the bond fund portfolio of the you know, it's currently banned by the treasurer. This is actually would be a higher rate of return than a portions of his portfolio. So in terms of whether or not, so there, it would clearly be a prudent investment advisement. So particularly, there's a difference obviously between $250 million and $30 million. But so I don't know that provision is really even necessary. I don't think it's certainly not necessary in this provision, but in the Management Council's bill.
Mr. Chairman, the last two subsections, D and E. Subsection D requires an annual report to the Joint Appropriations Committee, Joint Minerals Business and Economic Development Committee, and Joint Education Committee. And subsection E is merely a definition of the board, refers to the SLIB board. The only other newly created statute has a completely different purpose. Wyoming Statute 36-8-1701 is created to initiate a Ranch A account, and the second-to-last section of the bill will actually make a deposit into that account. But should the future legislators wish to make future deposits into that account, we have created it.
And Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this Ranch A account is just the account that they'll deposit the loan funds in there to be distributed.
Mr. Chairman, so this has nothing to do with student dormitories. Okay. It's a completely different issue, and it's a direct general fund appropriation at the end of the bill of $100,000 will be deposited into this account and can only be used for the property, which is described on the next. That concludes section 1 of 13.
Just a follow up on the 250, and we kind of know what that's for from the Management Council standpoint. But if we made an amendment to this that said that this 30 would be part of that 250, if that bill passes, does the language sufficient enough that would fit into that provision?
Mr. Chairman, I think it would be difficult to conform. What you could do is delete this section if that bill passes, because there would be $250 million of capacity for not only the project contemplated by the committee, but other projects around the state. We did not put that provision in there. Section 2 are amendments to current statutes. On the bottom of page 10, Wyoming Statute 923004 provides for a state capital construction department review of the final design drawings and plans of any project commencing using federal funds or other funds for which the state will have to expend state funds for maintenance expenses. This is to address specifically the three military appropriations coming later in this bill and more generally other agencies that may receive federal funds and require the state to provide for the utilities and maintenance of those facilities.
Okay, once they have made that review, then where do they go with it?
Mr. Chairman, we struggled with that as well. It is at a point in the process where they are to review the project, but there is no directive that, you know, the federal military cannot proceed. So there's no action related to this review. But there wasn't any action related to the amendment adopted by the committee. For example, shall report back
to JAC and Transportation Committee?
Right, with the findings, or does the project stop?
No, with the findings. The problem I have here is we had the issue of the three new buildings that are going in part of the military department, but the feds are paying for it. But I think it's all three. We're going to have to pay for the maintenance on them and the utilities.
Two out of the three.
And we found out that the utilities are probably going to triple, at least because of the increase in the size and the volume of the buildings. So we're getting handed this, you know, this kind of stinking cabbage and say, here, pay for this from now on. And the problem I have is if we don't, you know, now we're saying with this, okay, review the final design and all that, but we're telling the military department to go ahead and do that. But I think they're in a conflict of interest. They want their nice new shiny building. So they should report back. They should report, I'd think, to us and transportation and military affairs.
Yes, we could add that.
Okay, make a note of that when we do the round robin, please.
Mr. Chairman, the next statute is just conforming, so I'll skip over lines 5 through 10, and that brings us to Section 3. Section 3 is also relatively simple. It roughly mirrors or is a subset of Section 1 of the budget bill, which you went through. These are only definitions, so it defines the term appropriation, approved budget, and the funds used for a variety of construction projects, including local government sources, federal funds, private funds, special revenue, or the Penitentiary Permanent Land Fund. That's all boilerplate language. Section 4 are appropriations typically within the CapCon budget book. That's the book that appears in the front of your folders. And there are a few community college projects that were also included in the governor's letter. Those projects are listed on page 13 and the top of page 14. And I believe I'll bring up the first two items on your amendment list. Amendment number 23 at the top of the page applies to the State Building Commission special contingency. You appropriated $6 million. There is a House proposal to add $3 million to that appropriation. So when the time comes, that would be an increase to page 13, line 13. Secondly, staff have an inquiry regarding Section 4. You can see that three of the five community college projects with matching funds are required to spend their local resources before state general funds, and two are not. The two that are not are line 16 and line 22. And we just point that out because we weren't sure whether that was intended or simply an oversight when you were making the motions. but those two did not include the requirement that they spend their own funds first. So
that's
they don't
have Northwest Community College?
No, I believe that's your Performing Arts Center.
Northern Wyoming? I don't think so. We just finished our Performing Arts Center with no state funds, by the way.
Mr. Chairman, it is Northwest Community College. Performing Arts Center, that's just the Level 2 study for about $1 million. And then Line 22, LCCC's Fine Arts Building, that's a $14 million facility, and that's construction funds. You can see they don't have the little foot, the superscript 1 by them.
Is there a reason why it wasn't included?
That's our question, too.
So with all the others, it's they have to use their local funds first before state funds come in.
Right.
Okay.
So we just bring that to your attention. It's listed here as the Second Amendment on your page for potential consideration.
It's Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Regarding that, and I can't remember if I was at our community college and maybe Representative Nicholas would recall if we were, wasn't there some discussion about some unanticipated challenges that came up with some of the contracting or something having to do with that issue? Does that ring any bells with you? Okay. We should.
And just for reference, NWCC is Northwest. NWCCD is Northern.
Mr. Chairman, moving to page 14, we've touched on footnote number 1. Footnote number 2 is a umbrella footnote for number 3 and 4, which require Casper College to meet the requirements under both number 3 and number 4 prior to proceeding with the Casper College Visual Arts Building. And footnote number 3 requires that for the Casper College Ag Equine Center, any funds expended to acquire that ranch in Natrona County can be used and considered for the matching funds requirement of other funds for that project. Footnote number 4 indicates that this is a separate project. Footnote number 4 provides $500,000 shall only be expended upon a determination by the governor in consultation with the State Construction Department and Western Wyoming Community College that there are no funds elsewhere available to address the emergency repair needs related to building system failures. So it's kind of a backstop. Footnote number 5 is the first part of the split for the Permanent Penitentiary Land Fund, $3.18 million may be used for water mitigation projects, maintenance and repairs at the Wyoming State Penitentiary. And footnote number 6 provides for the second half of that appropriation, $5 million or as much as needed may be expended for repairs, inmate relocation, major maintenance, capital construction. Those footnotes are predicated on joint appropriation consultation with the governor and a formal approval by the governor.
What's T5 again?
That's the Permanent Penitentiary
Land Fund.
That's
the Penitentiary Fund. Okay. Yes.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Don, quick question. We talked about reverting the previous $13.5 million. Is that in here anywhere, or do we have to affirmatively revert that back to that fund?
The 13 for Torrington?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, it is on page 24 and 25 in a subsequent section. Mr. Chairman, paragraph 2 provides for appropriations of $875,000 for the University of Wyoming Medical Family Practice Center in Cheyenne, and $500,000 of this is effective immediate. All of these funds relate to special revenue, not general funds.
And this is for that remodel?
It is for the remodel.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, on page 16, section 5, this is the release of $100 million for the UW Science Initiative that was previously appropriated in 2016 and 2017. This is the to meet the requirements of existing statute to release those funds.
And Donna, are all those, where are those funds now?
Mr. Chairman, I believe 76.6 million dollars is in cash, and with the state treasurer's office, the last $24.4 million is contingent upon fiscal year 2018 investment earnings off of the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund.
So it's SIPA 18?
SIPA 18.
And is there a, is it, where is it in line in terms of?
Mr. Chairman, actually that priority list is located on page 27. It is second in line behind the state health facilities.
And how much is the science initiative?
Mr. Chairman, it's $100 million. I believe this is phase one of two, but the phase one is $100 million request.
And the phase one is the new building?
Yes.
And the phase two is the rehabilitation of the currently existing buildings. Is that correct?
That's my understanding.
A nod or shake of the head is...
Mr. Chairman?
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, is it just...
Senator Dockstetter.
Just for knowledge, follow up, the phase two is how much? It's same amount?
Mr. Chairman, I do not know.
Could we ask Mr. Boswell?
Mr. Chairman, Chris Boswell, Vice President of Governmental and Community Affairs at the University of Wyoming. No specific amount has been identified for phase two. That is in the distance. And I'll just leave the answer at that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so right now we're sitting on $76.6 million in cash. And the other 24.4, we don't know if SIP has earned that yet or not.
Mr. Chairman, it is on pace to earn that. I would say that it has earned a sufficient amount. Well, it's on pace to earn it, depending on what happens in the next 5 months.
Okay. Thank you.
Section 6 is the Casper State Office Building Advisory Task Force. We did work with the sponsor of this motion to tweak it a little bit, and we do have some items for your consideration on this section. Page 17 describes the makeup of the section. I think there was some discussion of the makeup of this task force, whether or not it should include three or four members of the legislature. It was not clear to us what the final number should be. Our first draft had three members. The sponsor suggested four, but having a majority from non-legislative memberships on the task force for a variety of reasons, separation of powers being one.
So you're going to, so the calls here for two senators from Casper and two House members from Casper, basically?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. And then five members appointed by the governor, one from the State Construction Department, one representing the city, one representing the Downtown Development Authority, and two appointed from state agencies anticipated to occupy the facility. Mr. Chairman, the co-chair of the task force would be appointed by the presiding officers of the Senate and the House, and subsection D makes it clear that the task force shall serve in an advisory role. Paragraphs 1 through 4 mirror the actions of the Health Facilities Task Force, but not the actual language of the Health Facility Task Force, to recognize their advisory role and monitor the procurement of professional services. The Health Facilities Task Force has stronger language in their oversight of those facilities, but there have also been some concerns raised with the activities of that entity.
And this is where we run into one of the House amendments, page 16.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This amendment would provide for up to $500,000 for a owner's representative, similar to MOCA serving in that capacity for the Capitol. And I believe there's an owner's rep on the health facilities task force as well. there is not, this money is not new, meaning it's coming from the CASPER account. So it's not a new appropriation other than a portion of the funds designated for the construction would be used for an owner's representative.
And that representative would be paid $500,000?
We've left that as, and you can see it's shaded. We have requested refinement of that number from the State Construction Department, and we have received no response.
Okay, thank you.
Right now we've left it, we made that a maximum. So it could be $100,000, $200,000. It's an
Mr.
up
Kocher,
to.
Mr. Kocher, my understanding is that typically for a, it kind of depends on how soon they get in and how much work they do, but usually it's 1.5 to 2% of the overall price of the project if you're working from beginning to end on it. But it's that, so that's just a placeholder, and it would go out to bid just like that type of a program or something equivalent to it.
So who is a qualified owner's representative? Is that somebody with general contracting experience? Or?
Tamara Revley, also staff attorney. I don't think this language is very specific. It would probably be left to industry standard and the bidding and procurement process and the Department of Administration and Information, the State Construction Department, to determine in those documents what qualifications are required.
Representative Larson.
So, Mr. Chairman, those are the same questions we had on the Facility Task Force. And so you put that RFQ out to get qualifications back with the RFP, what they'd be, and you evaluate. That's part of the responsibility that this group, along with the Department of Construction, would have, is to review those applications, if you will, to see if any of them are qualified. And I'd share with you that on the state health facilities, the first round when we'd done that, we had two or three applications, and we run it again and sent it out and got in about 13 after that to make sure that we had somebody that was qualified to oversee that magnitude of construction.
So what did you get? You got contractors or architects? Or I would assume it's people in the building trades.
It is people in the building trades, construction management, architects, and engineers. It's not per se an individual as much as it is a firm who has expertise in all of those areas. So the state health facilities, a couple of the principals are architects. You've got an engineer. We've got, there's several of those that help review that whole process.
Isn't that what the person from the state construction department is supposed to be doing?
Oh, that is the, yes. So, well, and more so, we wrestled with the idea. So where's the responsibility of your architect and engineering firm that's supposed to be building that? And we batted that around pretty significantly. And a couple of us sitting in this room got pretty cranky. I was wondering why do we have to pay for an owner's rep when the contractor who's building it should have liability and the architect and engineer that designed it should have responsibility.
And the building department.
And the building department. But what they're saying is, and I would, I've come to agree with that, is that if you don't have that, it's just an evolution that's come about in the building industry, and these guys are kind of a third party, if you will, away from the owner. They represent the owner, and they can kind of bat back and forth, but you have to have qualified people. If you're an owner, you've got to ensure that you've got qualified people to do that. And
just to follow up, and actually the construction department really does not have the expertise to the degree and the qualifications that these folks have. I mean, they are professional architects. They don't have, and not only that, but if you look at the staffing of construction management, the individual that oversees the state facilities oversees about 25 other ongoing projects. And so They're not on site. They're not there dated, and so that's they're really their function is not to take this one project and make sure that it is what it's supposed to be. And I think we've learned through time on various buildings at UW. Take the current state penitentiary, for example. Had we had someone like this on site, we would be in a totally different position now.
I thought we did have somebody on site at the time.
We didn't have a building run. We had an employee of someone retained who wasn't on site, nor was he qualified to performing the duties he was doing. So it was this is an evolution of process that we have learned over time that if we don't have it, it's shame on you because that we've paid the price too often.
All right.
The other thing I would add in is that we've talked to the highway department about it, and any project usually over $30 million at least, and sometimes quite a bit under, they always have an owner's rep because they run into the same problems, and that's not as complicated as a process.
So would this be somebody or an organization who specializes in this particular area? Like in this case, it'd be an office building in the medical things. It's medical facilities.
Exactly. Has to make, and the task force will evaluate those applications to determine if the applicants are qualified for the type of building that you're building and then reach out to them to interview.
And so who is it that determines the qualifications?
Construction department.
Okay.
Yeah, the task force meets, interviews them along with the corrections department, and the inquiry is how much you're going to cost, how much you're going to be on site, and it's actually really important. The sooner that this firm is retained, the better, because you need to have them in the DD component of it or as soon thereafter as possible to make major changes or corrections and drive the task force and construction management to get the building they want.
Okay, so the only
design.
Okay, got you. All right. Thank you. Let's move on.
Mr. Chairman, there are two more issues related to this, and they also appear on your amendment sheet. On page 21, it provides for the reimbursement of per diem and salary and mileage for the legislative members at $22,000 total for the two-year period for all members and $8,000 for the non-legislators, recognizing they do not receive salary for their participation. The committee voted on a $30,000 cap. The staff note, which appears on page 22, lines 6 through 12, indicate that if the task force were to meet approximately 6 to 6.5 meeting days in Casper, the cost would be $26,000 rather than $22,000 for legislators and $10,000 rather than $8,000 for the non-legislators, requiring a $6,000 increase in the appropriation.
If these are Casper legislators, why do they need per diem?
Mr. Chairman, I believe our rules provide the option of declining per diem, but the baseline is legislators in their hometown do receive it unless they decline it.
Representative Larson.
And Mr. Chairman, in the language, it doesn't specify that that's where those representatives from the Senate and House will be. That's left up to of course, the President and the Speaker. So it's...
Well, no. It says back on page 17
task
force.
Oh, okay. I apologize.
Two reps, two senators, Casper.
Yeah, they're Casper people. So are they going to get tired on their way home and stay in a motel?
Mr. Chairman, in any event, that staff note is there, and it's amendment number 53 on your list.
So that's staff's amendment?
No, we're just bringing it to your attention.
There's not an amendment listed here on the sheet.
Mr. Chairman, it is verbal only in the language. So you're exactly right. There is no written amendment on that.
Oh, yes, you have the where it says CapCon, increase appropriation by $6,000, $4,000 for LSO, and that's something else.
No, that's correct. And $2,000 for State Construction Department.
So So why would we be paying for state construction? I don't. That would come out of their budget, I think. I mean, for example, for state facilities, we don't pay for them.
Mr. Chairman, these are not for state employees, but these are for the local or other individuals that the governor appoints that are not state employees.
That are on this board.
That are on the task force, correct.
And they don't have to be from Casper.
Mr. Chairman, I believe one of them has to be from the city of Casper.
But they get per diem also?
Mr. Chairman, non-state employees would be eligible.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, to clarify, it's a person who represents the interests of the city of Casper. If you want them to be a resident of the city of Casper, we can change that language under an amendment.
I guess they could be a Casper employee but not live in Casper. They could live in Mills or something. All right.
And, Mr. Chairman, the next section was also not voted on. The printed copy is in error. It should be shaded. So that subsection J, that also refers to, on your amendment sheet in the blue, refers to amendment number 21. When you left town in January, there was actually no appropriation for this project, nothing for design, architectural work, or construction, level two, level three studies, et cetera. So this $40,485,000 is the maximum that can be deposited in that account, counting about $26 million in cash, and I believe later on in this bill, an appropriation for $15 million.
From where?
SIPA 18. So if the committee wishes to proceed with that, it would require a vote.
And Mr. Chairman,
Representative Larson.
Thank you. So as we go along, are we going to make these motions and do these amendments as we put along here, or are we going to come back?
We're going to come back. We're going to finish going through here. But we're getting a lot of the explanation, for instance, this one before about the thing for the owner's rep. You know, I think I got a good enough explanation that I don't think there's going to be an argument. Because I got the explanation now.
Mr. Chairman, I think that takes us to Section 7, which begins on page 23 and concludes on the top of page 25. This section is bringing in 2016 laws and amending them, and the specific purpose of the amendment is to deappropriate $13.5 million from the Penitentiary Permanent Land Fund, originally appropriated for the WMCI, or Medium Security Institution, in Torrington. You're reappropriating those funds in an earlier section. This refers to Representative Burkhardt's question a few minutes ago. Right, the substantive portion is the bottom of page 24, line 28, the striking out of $13,500,000. Okay. Undoubtedly, your colleagues on the floor may ask, why are we appropriating another, say, $13 million on line 16? And the answer is you are not. You're just amending this entire section, so we have to bring in the entire language from 2016 in order to cross out only line 28. All of these are prior appropriations. Most of them have already been expended.
But somebody could very easily turn around and say, hey, you're taking the $13.5 million from the medium security facility in Torrington and giving it to Casper for their office building. I mean, looking at page 24, that's what it would look like.
It may, Mr. Chairman. In fact, that 13.5 is being appropriated, and I'll refer you to the page so perhaps it's worthy of a note. It's being appropriated on page 14, line 2. Or at least $8.18 million of that is. So you're not using it all. But you're taking the $13.5 million from line 28, page 24, to page 14, line 2.
So I think a note would be useful.
Yes. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Burkhardt.
So, Don, just so we're all clear, though, the numbers are different with the pen, then the remainder remains in the permanent penitentiary land fund for future potential uses.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, we're a little bit confused as to the request for a note. I understand it.
We can do it on the floor. But it's
somebody, like I said, somebody from the floor is going to look at this and say, hey, look, you're taking it away from here and putting it here. And I think we just, you'll be there and Don will be on my end to remind us this is for repairs to the building in Rollins, the buildings in Rollins, and if we look carefully, we'll see they're both T5. So we'll see they're coming from that same fund. Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman and Don, I think when you was referring that this might be a good place for a note, that perhaps you was implying that we would want to make a note in our individually here in our bill. Is that not what you was implying?
Mr. Chairman, that's what I was.
Yes, but Don makes my notes for me.
Yeah. And so then your question, as I was receiving back from them, was do you guys want them to add a defining note about this into the bill?
About this what?
So do you want them to put something in the bill, a note that defines that for the rest of the body, or are we just going to explain it?
No, well, it'll be by way of explanation.
Very good. Perfect.
Mr. Chairman, Section 8 begins on page 25. This is also a revision of a 2016 Wyoming session law, and it concludes on page 28. This is the reallocation of 2018 SIPA funds. So you can see on page 27, the original allocation was $20 million for the state health facilities, $24.4 to the University Science Initiative, $12 million for Casper State Facility, $20 million for the capital, and a to-be-determined amount for mineral-impacted roads. The committee changed that allocation, and specifically, starting on line 9, you added $3 million for the Casper State Facility. You struck the capital because you're paying that off with general funds in the budget bill, so there's no need for that $20 million deposit. And you set aside a reserve account in the amount of $17 million to deposit the majority of those funds. And you change the footnote on mineral-impacted roads. While the language may not always indicate the county who is benefiting from that, the short version is there was a Campbell County coal road in the 2016 version. That road has been addressed with the Department of Transportation, private donation, and county funds. And the reduced amount of $7.5 million is now being dedicated to Lincoln County. There is a much longer description of the Lincoln County road later on in the bill, and we'll get to that. But this is just the appropriation of those funds.
And this other 4.2, that is, Kerry.
Mr. Chairman, I believe there are two amendments to this section if you wanted to get a preview of those. The first amendment would deposit all of the $20 million into the state health facilities account as opposed to $17 million into a generic reserve account and $3 million to Casper. The full $20 million would go into state health facilities. That's the first amendment. And on your cheat sheet here, that is referred to as Amendment Number 17. Amendment Number 48 would provide for the $7.5 million mineral-impacted roads to Lincoln County rather than being taken from SIPA 18 funds. They would be taken from the cash corpus of the University Science Initiative.
What?
So we're talking about amendment number 2 to this section on your cheat sheet. It is shown as amendment number 48 in your blue cheat sheet, and there was interest to consider a amendment that would take the $7.5 million on page 27, line 13. Right now, those funds are contingent upon investment income performance in fiscal year 2018, are not guaranteed, and rather replace them from University Science Initiative cash. We talked about earlier this afternoon where they have $76 million in cash.
Yeah.
That is money in the bank. There is no risk of investment earnings. And that the that is one way for that road to ensure.
But does that add risk to the science initiative?
Mr. Chairman, it does.
And you have this as a Senate amendment.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, looking to secure those funds, not to – I don't have them guaranteed before. Now I'm looking to guarantee those funds.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Larson.
So, Don or Senator Dockstetter, if you're pulling that out of the science initiative and that SIPA money indeed come back in, would you refill the science initiative pot for that 7.5? Is that the way that amendment would read?
Mr. Chairman, yes.
So the science initiative would, instead of having $24 million dependent on SIPA 18, would have 31 plus, maybe close to 32 million dependent on SIPA 18.
Question, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Could you do on that 7.5, Don, could you do a similar action and do an interfund loan to guarantee that rather than pull it out of science initiative? From the LSRA or?
Mr. Chairman, you absolutely could. You have used that mechanism in two other occasions, the state capital and the health facilities. In this case, this project is the primary contributor is a local entity, and who is responsible for paying back that loan in the event it is required. In the first two cases, it's clear the state had, and you have, you're paying off that loan before you even took it out in the case of the capital. That option is available in the Lincoln County Road Program, but it's a little more complicated because we're one of three participants in the construction of that road, and in fact, we're a minority participant.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. That's how it would be complicated.
Well, we'll kill that amendment when we come to it.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's worth noting these are not amendments, but worth noting in the bill itself, on page 28, the three new footnotes that are created. Footnote number 6 just sets that 2018 SIPA reserve. There's $17 million in it. There's an account created in this footnote. There is no disposition of those funds or authorization to spend those funds. That was left unstated in January. Footnote number 7.
Well, wait a minute. You've got – so that's that line 11, that fiscal year 2018 SIPA reserve account. That's what you're talking about?
Right.
And so, Don, isn't there an amendment to take that 17 and just put it park it someplace else so this would go away?
Mr. Chairman, there's been no amendment presented.
Is the cash sitting there?
Mr. Chairman, it's all dependent on investment income over the next 5 months. If we earn 5%, that money will be there and available for appropriation. That footnote says it is available for appropriation, but you didn't put it towards any projects or that sort of thing.
Well, can we reverse the priorities and take that, take the mineral impacted road and make that number 4 instead of number 5?
Mr. Chairman, you could.
It wouldn't necessarily guarantee it, but it sure makes it a lot more likely. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I need to get clarification. So did we not have that $17,000 that creates the reserve account came was a byproduct or delineated from the $20 million that was in the capital restoration account. And so what we done, what our intention was we removed three and put it into the Casper office building. 17, that 17 that we're referring to there was intended for the state health facilities. Do I have that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that was the informal earmark, and I stand corrected. There is a provision in amendment number 28, page 1, that would affirmatively direct that $17 million and guarantee it through an interfund loan for the purposes of the health facilities. It is a piece of a much larger amendment proposed by the House side or members on the House side.
Well, this is to guarantee carry.
No,
Mr. Chairman.
This is that 4.2.
That's the 4.2. That's the bond. This is the 17 goes to the health facilities in our amendment. Instead of having it in an undesigned kind of
in SIPA. Okay, so I'm sorry. Where is that amendment?
Number 28. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that's amendment number 28, which does a lot, I might add. It provides for that $17 million and designates it for the purposes of the state health facilities. It also guarantees that $17 million, and then it moves into SIPA 2020, designates $5 million for the Casper State Office Building, guaranteed. $15 million for the state health facilities, guaranteed, and then creates a University of Wyoming Athletic Facilities Challenge account for $25 million that is not guaranteed.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. You know, and the reason we created the $17 million account the way we did is we were concerned about just designating it straight to the health facilities, kind of based upon the fear of knowledge that might have in a bidding process. The bidding process is over, correct?
Correct.
So I think the question we have to ask ourselves, is it necessary to go through this account, or do we just put it directly into the health facilities? And I think that's the question we have. We were trying to put it in a contingency fund, basically, but not really name it until after the bidding process. Well, the bidding went out, and it's way higher than we thought it was going to be anyway. So
the amendment takes care of that.
Yeah.
So you're taking this out of the 2020 SIPA?
That's to finally and fully pay for the state facilities to two buildings. In essence, it is the remainder of those two projects. Yeah, I mean, we'll walk through those details when we get to the amendment.
Yeah, when we get to the amendment. Okay, so right now I was on this thing about taking the $7.5 million for the roads.
Yeah, you were thinking of moving it up above the 17.
Yeah, but that was just an alternative. I was thinking of moving it above the 17.
That puts the roads in front of the state facilities, though. That's the problem with that.
Well, it puts the roads in front of the SIPA reserve account.
It already is.
No, it isn't.
I thought it was.
No. Okay. Let's move on.
I think the next two items are footnotes 7 and 8 on page 28. Footnote number 7 directs the appropriation to the mineral-impacted roads. That use of those funds is discussed in Section 11 later in the bill. Footnote number 8 makes the deposit of $4.2 million to the school capital construction account. Next, Section 9 is relates to a property lease agreement in the city of Casper. I will turn the discussion over of this issue to Ms. Reveille.
And there's another amendment attached to this.
Which number is that?
18.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Section 9 deals with a motion that was to make 3 years of lease payments for the Casper Downtown Development Authority's lease with the City of Casper for the property that's occupied by the Department of Workforce Services call center. And this is a lease that is between the City of Casper and the Casper Downtown Development Authority. The City of Casper and the DDA are in that lease. The DDA then turns around and subleases it to the State of Wyoming. And the State of Wyoming, their consideration for that lease was in the beginning, disposition of another property and then ongoing payments of zero per month. They've made an amendment to now be paying $700 per month. And so LSO was tasked to figure out how to effectuate that amendment without impairing the existing contracts that are out there and without writing special legislation. And one proposal that's in front of you is Section 9, which would require the Department of Administration and Information to negotiate a schedule of rental payments with the Casper Downtown Development Authority. In consultation with the Department of Workforce Services and other parties to the contract to be paid for by funds that are then referenced in subsection C of this section, and it would be subject to the approval of the Attorney General.
So is this in addition to the language in the bill? Because I don't see anything about deleting that.
So, Mr. Chairman, we've also prepared a draft amendment that was amendment number 18 that would restructure this fairly significantly. And we can go through the draft amendment if you'd like.
Well, that's my question. The draft amendment, is that to replace what's written in Section 9 now?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that would be correct.
All right.
All right. The state would then... We're directing the Department of Administration and Information to negotiate a potential schedule of rental payments. And if they do negotiate that schedule, the funds would be from the Department of Workforce Services Unemployment Insurance Division appropriation in the 2018 House Bill 1, the budget bill, of up to $400,000 of other funds as determined by the Department of Workforce Services. The alternative that's been presented to you would simply skip these lease issues and make an appropriation to the City of Casper. And that's for you all following along. Number 18, we'd appropriate $400,000 from amounts paid by leasees of the property located at, and we'd get that description, they're referred to as Riverside Rentals, and held by the Department of Information, Administration and Information General Services Division, and from future rental payments from that same income stream. They'd be appropriated to the City of Casper directly, and for the purpose of community impact assistance related to the state's occupancy of that building, and related to the Casper State Office building that they're building now.
So just so I'm clear, because I'm not familiar with any of this, 135 North Ash Street is currently being rented by the state?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We sublease it. The state subleases it from the DDA.
So they made a sweetheart deal with the DDA, and then we're paying the DDA.
Mr. Chairman, the state made a deal where they paid nothing, and the DDA agreed to this lease where they would accept nothing to rent us this building.
So why are we suddenly giving him $400,000?
Mr. Chairman, I believe the thought is that lease was not, doesn't correctly appropriate funding, or that there is a lack of consideration considering the community impact that's happening there. And you might have to ask the bringer of the amendment for more details about the thought process.
The impact is the state's going to spend $40 million to build a brand new building there. They should be paying us. Representative Walters.
Mr. Chairman, I'd
try. Turn on your mic, please.
Mr. Chairman, I would try and offer an explanation. The state is in this property, and the utilizing this property with the DDA is paying the lease on it, and it was under the impression that the state would have constructed the new state office building by now, and that has not taken place yet, and so this then helps the DDA get out from under their lease because that property has not been taken place. The money does not come directly from general fund. It comes from properties that the state currently owns that will be vacated as that new office building is built. Those properties are where the new office building will be built that are currently paying these leases, and this money is currently sitting in a bank account in Casper, essentially. And so it's a zero sum. It's up to $400,000 if that's what those leases generate. If not, the DDA will pay the difference.
Who's paying those leases?
The various business owners that owned the properties prior to the state's purchase. So, for example, there's a dog groomer, there's a tattoo parlor, there's a used car dealership, there is a whole variety of things down through there. The state bought the properties.
From them.
The state plans to demolish those properties at some point in the future. Until then, those folks are paying a lease to the state. That money is just being deposited in an account, so this would utilize the money that's being deposited in that account to pay for this workforce services call center lease to the city of Casper.
Which is currently free.
Which is currently free, yes, sir.
So why would we, if it's free, why would we give them $400,000?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. The representative did a good job of describing, but I just wanted to insert again the notion that the understanding was the agreement was developed with the idea that the state office building would be well underway, if not finished by now. And it is a sweet deal for the state, but it is not a good deal for the Downtown Development Authority, and it's in part our fault for not having the building on the ground yet. And so it was our thought that it was time for us to live up to a little bit more ethical treatment of the agreement. So that's why we brought the amendment. We think it's a fairness deal. Frankly, the downtown development folks are using privately gifted money, you know, to help the state sit in the office building that they're in.
Is the DDA paying the city of Casper?
Correct.
Rent?
Rent, yes, sir.
And that rent amounts to how much that they've paid?
$120,000 a year plus utilities, roughly.
$120,000 a year?
Plus utilities, roughly.
For how many years?
For another 3 years.
It's been three.
Yeah, two and a half now. Rough number.
Which is $360,000 plus utilities. So that's why he came up with the $400,000.
Yes, sir.
That's already sitting in the account.
It was only $170,000.
Only $170,000 currently in the account. So they may come up short, and we're just not going to cover what they come up short. The DDA is still paid.
All right. Well, thank you for that explanation.
Sir.
It took a while. Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, moving on within the Section 9 of the amendment, the state doesn't have any authority to we run into issues if we tell the DDA and the City of Casper to change their leases, but we expect that they would be not, the City of Casper would not be taking double payments, so we ask them to report back to the Joint Appropriations Committee on the expenditure of this appropriation and any changes or amendments they've made to their leases.
A theory that the City of Casper is going to give the money back to the DDA.
In theory, Mr. Chairman, they would release the DDA from their lease. Or change the terms of the lease to not require the DDA to pay them that amount that the state is now paying.
What if they're not as kind-hearted as we are?
Mr. Chairman, then they will state that in their report back to you.
Yeah. Dear suckers. Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, this would be effective through March 31st, 2021, and that is when the lease documents themselves anticipate ending that month. Moving on to Section 10, what you have in your bill draft is LSO's interpretation of the motion, and that was to direct the City of Casper and the State Construction Department or the State Building Commission to negotiate terms of a long-term lease, 20 years, and that the negotiations should include thoughts for the Midwest building to ensure its future use is consistent with the long-term goals and highest and best use for the downtown Casper. So Section 10 creates that and very specifically defines what should be negotiated in a long-term lease for these parking lots in subsection A.
I'm sorry, but I'm confused again. There's a building at 100 West Midwest Avenue.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
That we don't own. The state doesn't own.
Mr. Chairman, that is, these, Section 10 deals with property owned by the state.
Okay, so that's the property that the state currently owns, and the state offices are in there now? Please
thank
help
you,
me.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the bill itself, the one property is a vacant lot the city and the legislators from Natrona County would hope to see the state and the city partner to create a parking lot or something to that effect. And then the building on Midwest Avenue that's referred to in this is currently occupied by city or by state employees for, I can't remember which division or agency is in that current property. Those folks would move out once a new state office building is created. And so this is to try and get make sure the state is a good partner with the City of Casper in deciding what to do with that property in the future. The trouble with what I proposed in the motion that's in the bill is that it was too specific, and so the amendment makes this just accomplishes the same thing but makes it far more generic. So that's the thumbnail sketch of what we're doing here.
Just to add,
Senator Landon.
Just real quickly to add, that's the building that we described, I believe, in December or January. We've been down here a long time. That's the building that it would take between $8 and $10 million to renovate and bring up to code. The city has given extended time for the state to eventually get out of that building. And what the representative is referring to is language that allows for a negotiation that for the best use of that building. We don't necessarily want language that says we're going to tear it down because maybe some kind of use might come along that somebody might want to purchase that building back. But it's a building that's in quite disrepair. And that's the one that all of our state employees have to move out of at some point for some reason to somewhere. And that's what generated the conversation about the building in the first place. And we've been on a task force, a couple of us, for 7 years. So.
All right.
Hope that helps.
All right. And that's and in the bill is the legal description of the building, which makes it special legislation. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, not necessarily. The legal description is simply because that building is a vacant lot and that doesn't have an address. We don't have a easier way of referring to it and knowing that we'll definitely capture it. But in general, we are talking about legislation that very specifically affects one entity and very specifically telling the executive branch how to negotiate and what should be in a lease. Subsection A deals with the parking lot parcels, and subsection B deals with that Midwest building.
Okay, got you.
So what you have is an amendment that really does not change what the intent of Section 10 is. Your Correct. Amendment within number 18, and it's on the same amendment because these two sections came together and it's the same mover.
Yep, I understand.
It just makes it a little more generic, a little less direction. And
It's just my question on this whole Section 10 thing is okay, we're going to build a brand new, nice, shiny building for them, and the state employees will move in there. Well, why not just put the current building in that property up for sale? Why are we negotiating with the city for anything?
Mr. Chairman, the thought is that the state doesn't, or the Natrona County legislators don't feel like the state wants to sell that property, especially the open lot at this point, because the state has had a history of buying and selling properties and repurchasing properties and making poor financial decisions in that regard. And so this would allow the state to hold on to that property and still not have it be a hazard or an eyesore for the city of Casper. Currently, it's really quite a hazard to the state of Wyoming, or a liability to the state of Wyoming, because the lot itself is an open lot, lots of vacant rebar sticking out of the ground, pipes sticking out of the ground. So this would allow for hopefully the city of Casper could clean it up on their dime, get a little bit of use out of it. The state would still retain ownership. And if in 30 years down the road, the state wanted to build something there, the state wouldn't have to go purchase this from the city of Casper for a hugely inflated price over what they paid a few years ago to purchase it. It just retains the asset to the state and allows for the city to get some beneficial use out of it.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, the next section is Section 11 on the bottom of page 37. This is the definition and distribution of the $7.5 million of SIPA 18 for the mineral-impacted road, Lincoln County. And on page 38, it provides for the $7.5 million coming from the state to be matched with private or county funds in the amount of $15 million. And $7.5 million from the Highway Department for a total cost of $30 million. In order to achieve those funds, the anticipated cost of the project and the construction and the management of the project, all funds shall be provided by the county, shall be expended prior to the expenditure of any state funds, and no funds shall be returned to the county if the actual cost of the project is less than the anticipated cost. So we're the last dollar in terms of the state. There's also a requirement that this activity receive a affirmative determination from the Attorney General as to whether or not there is a binding commitment from the county and private entity that is supporting this project. These are similar, if not identical. Well, they are similar, not identical, as the provisions in the original mineral impacted road program in Campbell County. Not the funding splits. The funding splits are different, but the requirements on the Attorney General are the same.
Mr. Chairman, just for clarification.
Senator Landon.
Thank you. Just, Don, for clarification, the $7.5 million is appropriated to the Department of Transportation. Did I understand you to say that the Department of Transportation funding would then match that $7,500? So none of the resources are really coming from the county that I can see here. Can you help me with that?
Mr. Chairman, yes, at least 50% of the project must come from the county and private funding sources.
Yeah, private funding sources. Mr. Chairman.
I see.
Okay. Senator Dockstader.
So it's 7.5 from the state, 7.5 federal highway, and the other 15 is private, coordinated through the county. So we have what we have there is, with this project, and I don't think it's ever been made clear, studies show 200 jobs for another 20 years, average salary $85,000, estimated tax revenue $305 million off of this project.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, the last section before the effective date is Section 12, and it refers back to the second part of Section 1, which was the creation of the Ranch A account, and here is the appropriation of the $100,000 we had provided you in a preview, and $100,000 is deposited in that account, and it shall not revert at the end of the fiscal period. I believe that concludes the presentation of the capital construction.
Okay, and help me out with this last amendment. Conditional appropriation of the school capital construction account?
Right, Mr. Chairman, there would be a new section. If you recall in, I believe it was Section 8, on page 27, line 14, that $4.2 million of 2018 SIPA is number one, last in line in priority order. And number two, this is a deposit to the school capital construction account. I believe the thinking on behalf of the promoters of this amendment was in part that the school capital construction funds need to be assured that they exist so that the projects can proceed. And that amendment, number 19 for our purposes, provides that assurance or guarantee.
So, Mr. Co-Chair, that's not – the reason that this came in is because the folks in LSO on the school side said that there may be constitutional issues by not having some sort of guarantee
on the money.
Because then we're not complying with the directives of the Supreme Court on how school buildings are funded. And so, frankly, I'm doing it because they said if you're going to do it, this is just a protective clause for it and to, you know, comply with the funding mechanism or the models, if you will, that on how school facilities are funded and pursued via that funding model that we've created.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, just one more point, if I might. We touched on and I think explained fairly thoroughly every amendment except for those last three, which are actually all wrapped into one amendment, number 32, 27, and 28. So when you come to that, that may require a fair bit of explanation.
$5 million matching funds for the Veterans Museum. Incorporating to SIPA 2020. Yeah, this is where they want a new tranche, the 2020 tranche.
Tranche 4.
All right. Anything else on the bill? All right, let's take about a 10-minute break, and we'll come back.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have that language that they amended. We can get that.
All right, we're back in order. We're ready to work this bill. Anybody want to move it? Moved and seconded. Okay. Okay, any amendments on page 1, 2, or 3? Any amendments on page 4? Representative Wilson.
Mr. Chairman, I assume that if we're going to make a motion to add sections, that we can then have conforming language to go in the
page one later. Yeah, that'll be in the title. Representative Burkhart, you have an amendment for page 5?
Mr. Chairman, I'm looking for it, if I could have a moment. Conceptually, the amendment is on page 5, line 21, change cumulative financial audit to match the wording that the Management Council used on a similar bill Saturday. And I'm trying to find that bill.
Don?
Mr. Chairman, strike the word cumulative and strike the word audit and replace it with review. So it reads, include a financial review.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. Question being called. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion passes. Any amendment, further amendments on page 5, 6, or 7? Any amendments on page 8 or 9? Any amendments on page 10 or 11? I made this note about the review of the final design, and I wanted to add at the end, expenses for the facility on line 3 of page 11. Expenses for the facility and submit a report to Joint Appropriations and Transportation and Military Committee, Military Affairs Committee. Would anybody be
second?
Well, I'm not making the motion. I'm chairing.
So moved. I'll chair.
Moved and seconded.
Okay.
Any discussion? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make sure. So that's just a review. It's not approval. Because earlier in that Romanet 8, it says, to ensure that energy-efficient best practices are included. I'm not disagreeing with your concept, but we wouldn't want to hold up the approval for 9 months
There's no required activity by either committee.
Okay.
But I want somebody in the legislature to see what they're doing. All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That amendment passes. Anything else on 11?
Mr. Chairman, can I just clarify that I have your language down right? That would be a review. Any time that the final designs or drawings or plans of a capital construction project have been reviewed, just as this is in statute, so
that's
they would just roll in.
Funded by federal funds with mm-hmm. the state. And the state will be paying for operations, routine maintenance, or major maintenance expenses.
Yes.
That specific case.
Okay.
And I think those are few enough that it wouldn't be a burden on us. All right, so we get to Section 3. Section 3, we have on page 13, we have a proposed budget amendment on line 13 of page 13 for the State Building Commission contingency to increase that from $6 million to $9 million.
Mr. Co-Chair, I would move the proposed amendment.
Second.
Okay, it's moved and seconded. Would this be general funds?
Yes.
Okay, I never heard an explanation of why.
Mr. Co-Chair, what this is that currently there's been a proposal submitted by the owner of this building for the state to purchase it. It's an option that's open. There is also a pending proposal to sell the Wyoming Liquor Commission that is state owned.
The old warehouse.
which is the old warehouse. The proposal to purchase this is for $11 million. The purchase price for the Liquor Commission is $8 million. So with an additional $3 million, we can acquire this building if we so choose to. And the current appraisal on this building is over $12 million. So it's a so this just allows the possibility to have funds if, in fact, though that goes through, that we will have the ability to acquire with funds while we are not in session, between now and next session.
All right. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. And I also have a note here on lines 16 and 17 for the Northwest Community College Performing Arts Center. They're the only ones on the list that does not specifically state that they have to use their own money before state money
Mr. Kocher,
is used.
And I that also goes for line 22.
16
and 22. And so I would make the motion that we apply that footnote to line 17 and line 22 that they have to use their own funds for.
16, 17, and 22.
Right. Second.
16, line 16, 17, and 22.
It's already on 17. So it's just 16 and line 22. Is that correct, Don?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's just line 16 and 22?
Correct.
Okay. And that's been seconded.
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. All right. That's passed. All right, we're rolling along now. The next one I have is on page 16, line 19. This is the for the science initiative, and you want to insert the words appropriations and on line 19.
That's your motion, Doug.
for the funding
for the ownership.
Or for the ownership, there's actually three that we want to do. One is to fund up to $500,000.
Yeah, that's a different one. This is the one above it.
Okay.
I've got page 16, line 19.
So what we would like to do, Mr. Chairman, is to authorize and release the fund or authorize the use of those funds to go into the level 3 design construction. I think there's $40.5 million. So whatever language is there to transfer that into the Department of Construction and to allow that to happen.
I haven't seen that. I don't know what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I don't either.
Well, let's go on page 16.
Page 15?
Page 16, line 19, after billing insert appropriations and...
Casper State Office Building Appropriations and Task Force?
And then on page 22...
Okay, so to do the amendment on page 22, you're saying you have to change the language on page 19?
Yes. Yep, and after building, we're going to insert appropriations and...
Okay, so we'll deal with the substance on page 22. And this is for the owner's representative.
Correct.
And in my thinking, you made a good argument for it. The only question I have is, do you want to make it up to $500,000?
Yeah, it should be up to.
Out of the funds appropriated for that building.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
I've got no problem with this. It makes sense to me. And it's a good explanation that you made. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That passes. And then this is on the task force.
So, Mr. Chairman, we don't have a motion on this on our side. If we need to come back with more money next year,
all right,
we can do it.
That works. Uh,
I'm on, up to page 27.
Mr. Chairman?
Don.
On page 22, subsection J, it appears on your amendment sheet as amendment number 21. That should have been highlighted. It didn't come out in the printing. But subsection J for the $40.5 million has not been voted upon by this.
Yeah.
I would make that motion that we...
So this was the amendment you were originally talking about.
Thank you, sir. I would make that motion to release those funds to be used to... In section J.
And the way I understand that is $26 million of this is coming from a cash account we have, and the remainder is coming from a SIPA 18 account. Is that right?
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That passes. All right, now we're on page 27. Here's where things start getting a little diversified in opinion.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Larson.
On page 27, on line 8, after number 4, which is in parentheses, reinsert the stricken 12.
Wait, that's... Are you giving the Senate a message?
Tom Rotary and
fellow. It's getting late. It's getting late.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize.
Okay, I'm trying to remember this with this 27. Why 27? O27. What's that?
Mr. Chairman, that's the agency number for the State Construction Department.
Okay, and so they're getting $15 million. This is for the state facilities, right?
Mr. Chairman, what this amendment does is it reduces the amount that the JAC previously added to the CASPER project to bring it up to $15 million. It puts it back at $12 million, and it takes the full $20 million that would have been spent on the capital and gives it to the health facilities.
That's what this amendment does.
That is what the amendment does.
Okay, and that's the Senate amendment. Does anybody want to move that?
So, do you want to go sit by Lloyd?
If you don't want to do it, if we don't want to do it, I don't recall why this came from the Senate. I'm trying to remember it, and I don't.
I believe, Mr. Chairman, that it was the desire of leadership that we seek out new life and new civilization. No.
Trying to find that $38 million gap in the medical facilities?
That's correct.
Okay. All right, so you make the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
All those in favor, raise your hand. All those opposed, raise your hand.
That worked well.
Motion passes.
You're welcome.
Senator Landon. The motion fails.
I'm not joking. Did I not sell that, Mr. Chairman?
No, you did not sell that. What are you talking about? It was the worst sales job I've ever seen. You couldn't convince two people over there.
I'll make a better effort as we go along here, Mr. Chairman.
All right. So that page is, well, no, page 28. Lines 4 through 6. Oh, that was all the same amendment. Okay, got you. All right, the next one is was this Senator Dockstader's, where he wants to guarantee that $7.5 million. And he wants to amend it. Remind me of how you want to amend this. Oh, you want to take the money from the Science Initiative and have the Science Initiative rely on just shy of $32 million from SIPA 18. Then the rest is cash right now.
Then this guarantees the road.
Okay. You move that?
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, no.
No.
That motion fails.
You show hands.
All those in favor, raise your hand.
I did no such thing.
You're supposed to address the chair.
Mr. Chairman?
You did no such thing.
Mr. Chairman? Yes, thank you.
Okay, Section 9. And so this language in Section 9 replaces the current language in the bill?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
That's correct. Okay, is there a motion?
I would make the motion to use the amendment as presented to replace the language in the
bill. Mr. Chairman, excuse me.
Yes, you made the motion.
Thank you.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion?
And, Mr. Chairman, the text of the amendment does actually change Section 10 as well.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Yes. So it goes through page 33? No. Would have been page 37. Because you have all that legal description in there. Okay, yeah, you made a good explanation to me. I'm for this. This makes sense to me. It took a long while to get around the mountain, but, you know, you eventually convinced me.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I could modify that amendment to include sections 9 and 10 all in the same amendment.
Yeah.
Since that's all
yes.
inclusive,
yes.
just for clarification.
Yep.
Thank you, sir.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion passes. Okay. We are page 39, section 13. Is this the new section? This is new sections. And this is where you go to the SIPA, create obligations against the SIPA 2020. So this is the Veterans Museum. So this is all these pages, like five pages, until the next to last page of the amendments.
Correct.
Correct? By the way, this may be the worst amendment I've ever seen in my life. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to move that we look at the handout on page 5 on the Veterans Museum. The text is there that we...
Well, nobody's moved this
amendment. I'm moving it.
Is there a second?
Section 15, it says on here, although it seems like it would go before 13, but anyway.
Right.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, would you
just
like...
for clarification, we've got it drafted as one amendment for the whole thing.
No.
And so if you just go to...
Well, that's the way, that's the motion. Yeah. If somebody wants to divide the amendment... You're more than welcome to.
So,
it all stinks. But.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just want a clarification. In the big handout we have, what amendment are we talking about? No, I mean in the big handout, I want to understand what the amendment is.
Don.
It says page 1 at the bottom.
Okay. Starting at the top all the way through, right?
No, starting at...
starting at section 13, or is it start at the
starting
top
at
of the page?
Section?
Page 2, line 1.
Yeah, page 2, line 1, right?
Well, wait a minute. What, Don? What is that at the top? The page? Yeah, that's starting at the top.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The top is modifications to the catch title or the long title.
Right.
And then the first portion above section 13 is a guarantee on the $17 million in SIPA reserve account. And then section 13 is the creation of SIPA 2020. And the four priorities for SIPA 2020 are listed on page 2 of the amendment. I fully acknowledge that these were separate amendments as given to LSO, but they all draw upon the creation of SIPA 2020, so they had to be combined at least initially to line out those priorities.
Right.
And then those priorities, just for clarification, $15 million, that's the state health facilities. The state facilities construction account, when it was created, never had that word health, but just for the committee's recognition, that's the state health facilities, $15 million. $5 million additional for the Casper State Office Building, $25 million for University Athletic Facilities Challenge Account, and $5 million for the Veterans Museum. And then those last two priorities, the university and the Veterans Museum, required further explanation, and that appears in Section 14 and Section 15.
And these are all guaranteed?
Mr. Chairman, no.
So, Mr. Chairman, then, this is kind of all one motion through Section 14. Is
that's the way the motion was made. No, yeah, through 14 also.
And Mr. Chairman?
Who asked? Representative Larson.
Thank you. So, Don, in that where we're showing the 15 for the state health facilities and the 5 for the state facilities, that's all. They're all guaranteed through the SIPA, then, correct? Or through the because we're guaranteeing 2020 is how they're guaranteed through the reserve.
Mr. Chairman, if you'd just give me a moment, I acknowledge that the request was that priority 1 and priority 2 would be guaranteed. I'm trying to find the language that accomplishes that purpose. It may be.
Would it facilitate things, even though we've moved the whole thing, to break it down into sections?
Well, anybody can divide the amendment.
There, my guess is there are portions of it that are not controversial, and there are some that are, and so if we take out the ones that are not.
It's not controversial from this side.
Well, only the guarantee, for example. On state facilities, we need, my guess is you're going to fund that, but you don't want to guarantee it.
We're not doing anything from 2020. Right. We don't want to do anything from 19.
We don't want to.
And by the way, that's
okay.
That's it's going to come back that way from the other end of the.
So what we ought to do? We probably don't need to debate it. Let's just vote on it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you're going to roll us now, because you're going to come back on conference when the sides are the same.
No, I agree. Let's just move on.
All right. But the only question left is this all guaranteed or not?
Well, what needed to be at least. I just was looking for that language too, and just wanted to verify it.
I think for the public record on the state facility issue, I think it's important. I would like, Representative Larson to talk a little bit about kind of what's happened in the bid process and kind of where we're at and why we need to have more money available, because I think that's important that everybody understand and hear
that.
Well,
they came in $38 million over.
Right, but I don't know that everybody knows that in this discussion.
We came in $38 million over the estimates.
Well, actually, why don't we... Why don't we do this? Let's take a short break. So that I want to figure out how we can best do this and not waste our time, but also have discussions about the components of it. So.
Easy roll or hard roll?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to vote against all of it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how you break it down.
I understand that.
We have to pull.
I'm just going to take a short break. You want to? You got money now for it? Where are you going to get the money for the
state? We'll find the money for it. It ain't going to come from SIPA 2020. And it's not going to come from SIPA 2019.
We'll just take it out of us, all right?
Yeah.
Well, don't you want to?
Yeah.
So that way we can.
We could
break it down then into the components to get portions of it that you guys like. That's my point.
If you want to do that, yeah.
So let us go talk about this.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's we're saying no. We just got to find a different way to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, let's just take a short break. We'll go in our little room over here
and get rid of SIPA 2019 while you're at it.
And while we're here, you could have John talk about issues involving the science and funding and whether or not there's a bunch of money hanging around at UW that all of a sudden just showed up.
Mr. Chairman, John McKinley, UW Board of Trustees.
Is that mic
working? Says it's green.
Hello.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, John McKinley, UW Board of Trustees. With regard to the statement that UW found a large sum of money, I wanted to address that issue. Apparently, there has been some discussion that UW found approximately $100 million. The Reader's Digest condensed version is this. In May of 2017, the Board of Trustees Budget Committee held hearings for the first time at UW with regard to the block grant and UW's budget. During that process,
For the first time?
Mr. Chairman, it is the first time in recent memory that specific hearings similar to JAC hearings were held by UW in a public forum regarding the specific unit and college budgets. So as part of that process, various funds and accounts were identified across campus. Those funds had existed for several years. They were not new funds, and the Board of Trustees took those funds and consolidated those in specific reserve accounts. That was not new money. Those were identified funds at unit and college level. The board then put specific restrictions on those funds that the reserve accounts could not be spent and specific expenditures could not come out of those reserve accounts without the approval of the recommendation of the university president and approval of the Board of Trustees. So those various accounts you've been hearing about are funds that have existed. Because of our new system, we were able to consolidate those in a central management reserve accounts across campus to be used specifically for those specific projects and programs that have been previously identified. Those are committed funds or earmarked for specific projects at UW. I can go into as much detail as the chair would like.
So, John, in summary, we found the money, we took it, and we redistributed it out. So it's already dedicated right now.
And we've put restrictions on it that it can't be spent without your approval.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dockstetter, that is correct. Those accounts resided at the unit and college level. They've all been now consolidated into central reserve accounts that have specific restrictions expenditures cannot be made without further approval of the Board of Trustees. So they're earmarked for specific examples. I mean, I can give you some examples if you want. I mean, there's $1 million for a passenger airplane reserve account. There's $5 million for a risk pool risk management account. Those accounts in the past resided at a different level, either in the College of Engineering or in General Counsel's office. Now they've been centralized as central reserve accounts. So expenditures out of those accounts require a recommendation of the president of the board or of the university and approval of, by the full board. So it's part of the whole fiscal system that we've implemented to, and at the direction of the legislature to get a better handle on that and a better management practice on all those various accounts. That's the purpose of it. Because of our new financial system, we're able to begin that process and put a handle on that. As another example that may be near and dear to some people here, UW has a construction reserve account now. So in the event we have any issues on construction projects, and at any one time UW may have any in the neighborhood of $100 million to $200 million of construction going on, we have a specific construction reserve account to address those issues. So hopefully, I can't promise this, we don't have to come back in front of you for exceptions requests. So that is the purpose of all this, is to try to be fiscally responsible and handle it internally at UW by creating these reserve accounts. It's not new money. It's been there for several years. It's just now managed and centralized with specific restrictions on expenditures.
John, is 120 roughly?
It's a little north of there, Senator Dockstetter. I think it's the, if you total all those up, it's public information. We, you know, we were very transparent when we created these. It's approximately 138 million if you total them up. I could run through them if you want.
Well, no, the fact that you found $138 million and then decided to turn around and pass it out, you know, stash it around as reserves in all these different places, frankly, does not really fill me with confidence in terms of the responsibility of the university. You're coming to us and saying, oh, give us another $20 million or give us another $40 million for the science initiative, when the fact is you're sitting there on $138 million extra. And so that's the perception I'm having here.
Mr. Chairman, I can respond specifically to that if
please
you would
do.
Like. Okay, so there is $1 million. You guys, the legislature has directed UW to fund a sinking fund for the passenger plane replacement.
Yeah, actually, I got a better idea. Could you give us a list of how you have disposed of the $138 million?
I will provide you the specifics. There is a $1 million passenger plane reserve account.
No, you don't have to recite it now. We'd rather have a written list rather than have you recite million by million or 5 million increments.
It'll take 30 seconds. I can give you both the list and tell you what they are.
Okay, please do that.
There's a $1 million passenger plane replacement account. There is a $5 million risk reserve account. There is a $50 million general unrestricted operating account. There is a $20 million construction reserve account. There is a $14 million new housing and maintenance, housing maintenance reserve account. There is a $38 million plus or minus special projects reserve account, and there is a $10 million recruitment retention account. Only the income off of the recruitment retention account can be spent for recruitment retention. And if, Mr. Chairman, if you recall, in years past, UW has always come to the legislature for an exception request for $400,000 for recruitment retention.
Right.
We did not do that this year. It is internally funded. And that's the
It's internally funded with $10 million?
With the $4 million average return that the foundation gets on those funds, yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
And the $50 million general operating account, that is approximately somewhere around 2 to 3 months of the UW's general budget. It's somewhat less than what the K-12 reserve account of 10 to 15% is. And so that's in the ballpark of that. In the past, that reserve account resided in various places across campus. Provost office, college office, the ag college, the business college, those were centralized so we could manage them properly.
Did I hear you say you put in $38 million into a strategic investment?
Special projects reserve account,
Mr. Chairman.
And that are funds that used to reside at the college level that were expenditures approved by the deans or department heads for special projects at the college level. Those were all centralized to be able to target those special projects that are most important
to the
university.
So the acronym for that is SPRA?
I'm not a big acronym person, Mr. Chairman, so I have not looked at it. But that sounds correct.
Okay. If you could give us a written this list in written form, I'd appreciate it.
I will give you a written summary as of the current account balance.
That'd be great. Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
Any other questions, Mr. Chairman?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
So,
you fixed it?
Yeah, we're going to have to vote on it. But tomorrow, the leadership meeting at 7, but we and I are supposed to attend to 10.
News to me.
I know. But remember, all the chairs of the JAC go to the leadership. And so there's a leadership meeting tomorrow at 7.
I don't know anything about it. Where?
Here. In Governor's office. I don't know.
I wasn't invited.
We are invited.
Mr. Chairman?
Don.
There were two questions, or at least one question outstanding when we took a little diversion here. And the first is, are any of these amounts guaranteed? And the answer is, in this amendment, no. However, there is an amendment tomorrow which deals in the budget bill which creates those SIPA accounts, Section 321, which will guarantee the first $20 million. That is not in your packet. It was inadvertently left out. Priority 1 and 2 would be guaranteed in on page 2 of the amendment. Priorities 3 and 4, assuming both this amendment is favorably received by the committee and tomorrow's amendment is favorably received by the committee. Mr. Chairman, they fund the state health facilities and the state facility in Casper. Those two are guaranteed. The others are not. I'd also mention that the second-to-last line should be struck upon further review, it refers to Section 321, which is the source of the amendment, but we need to make it a conforming change there.
Second to last line on the page?
No, the second to last line in the paragraph, on the top paragraph.
On what
page? Page two. And I can't just say strike these words. It needs some additional drafting attention. No, above that, where it says the state auditor may utilize interfund loans from the LSRA as authorized in Section 321 of this 2018 House Bill 1. Clearly, this is not 2018 House Bill 1. So that line there, as authorized by, needs to refer to tomorrow's amendment, depending on how it shakes out. Mr. Chairman, it is a conforming amendment.
Okay, so I won't mess with it. Okay, any other discussion on the amendment? Seeing none.
Chairman, did you vote on that last amendment?
Yes.
Okay. And now the vote is on the bill? Mr. Chairman, if you're waiting for me, there's not a motion on the table.
There is a motion.
Mr. Chairman, we identified one amendment that is listed for tomorrow that is more appropriately housed within the capital construction bill. It is amendment number 22. It's approximately 8 pages from the back of your big packet. It is a lengthy amendment for a task force on University of Wyoming housing. That creation of a task force relates to capital construction, and by that rationale would be more appropriately placed in this bill than the budget bill. Mr. Chairman, that is correct. It is labeled Section 13. Apologies, we put this together with multiple different authors, so the page numbers are...
What did you put here? What did you just...
He turned your mic on.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, so...
And this is a House amendment?
Correct.
You want to explain it?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And I can go through it page by page, but or we can – I'll give you a general idea. So the whole idea is that the university is kind of looking at how they are going to provide housing into the future for students. And it's going to be a large project that's going to consume a lot of money probably from a lot of different entities, including the state of Wyoming. So I think it's appropriate, and I believe we think it's appropriate, that there should be a task force created to take a hard look at how this, I guess, basically how this housing is going to be provided. And so basically what it does is it creates a task force where two members of the Senate is appointed by the President of the Senate, two members of the House appointed by the Speaker, one employee of or elected official of the executive branch appointed by the governor to serve as his designee, one, and these are highlighted, and I'm not sure why they're highlighted because I guess you'll talk about that, but and then so four, one member appointed by the treasurer and shall be in who shall be informed of state funding options, state investment goals, and public purpose investments. Five, two members of the Board of Trustees of the University of Wyoming, appointed by the University of Wyoming Board of Trustees. One member appointed by the President of the University of Wyoming. One member appointed by the Governor with experience in providing large-scale private student housing in Laramie. And one member appointed by the Governor from the University of Wyoming Foundation with experience in public-private financing. And then, Mr. Chairman, it goes on in subsection B, the co-chairman of the task force shall be appointed by the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House, respectively. The task force shall meet at the call of either the co-chair. C, the task force shall review the housing master plan. And then it goes into subsections of that, including, you know, goes it says, including state support to implement the plan or a revised plan, including I, investment of the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund, other permanent funds administered by the state of Wyoming or non-permanent funds of the state available for long-term investment in projects undertaken in furtherance of the plan, whether directly or through the purchase of bonds issued by the university. The review shall consider A, potential state investment in refunding of existing UW bonds, B, interest rates which may be incurred by the university with or without such state investment, C, potential gains or reductions of state investment returns through state funding or projects, including the potential for capital gains and losses in comparison to investments. And then it goes on with Romanet 2, the feasibility of public-private partnerships and financing and operating projects under the plan. Three, timeframes for undertaking components of the plan in consideration of other state-funded capital construction projects. Then if we flip pages. Subsection 4, whether the housing master plan as submitted to the Joint Appropriations Committee has the capacity to meet the long-term needs and demands identified in student surveys, including parking. 5, the feasibility of providing assistance to the fraternity and sorority system as an incentive to reinvest and reallocate fraternity and sorority housing to Harney Street, allowing for a larger footprint for the 10-year housing plan. 6, whether the housing master plan will provide competitively priced housing to students mandated to use provided housing. 7, whether the housing master plan will not discourage construction of private off-campus housing for students not mandated to use campus housing. 8, options for the Joint Appropriation Committee to consider regarding different levels of general fund appropriations to augment the appearance and contribution to the architecture of the University of Wyoming. Goes on with the subsection D, the task force shall provide a report of its findings to the University of Wyoming Board of Trustees. JAC, the Select Committee on Capital Finance and Investment, no later than November 1st, 2018. The report may include recommendations for legislative action, including whether the moratorium provided in subsection H of this section should be extended. Subsection E, the task force shall be staffed by the Legislative Service Office. The University of Wyoming shall serve in an advisory capacity to the task force. Subsection F, the task force shall terminate on December 31, 2018. G, members of the task force who are government employees or public officials shall be considered an official business of their agency or of the legislature when performing duties as members of the task force. There's appropriated $16,000 from the general fund to the legislative service office. This appropriation shall be for the period beginning with the effective date of this section. This, you know, kind of standard language on that part. H, there is imposed a moratorium on the expenditures of funds for demolition or construction in furtherance of the university's January 2018 housing master plan on file with the Legislative Service Office, and no university-owned property of any kind will be sold or traded or transferred until the adjournment of the 2019 legislative general session. So basically, this is providing for a closer look at with more people involved that are going to have to probably support the funding of this venture, slowing it down to make sure that this hard look is taken.
And just to put it, kind of wrap it up into a ball, we had a presentation from UW about possibility of just replacing the skin or doing certain things on two of the dorm rooms, on the potential of using part of taking down a couple of buildings and putting potential dorm rooms at places where, frankly, a lot of us did not like. So for UW to come and take, borrow $250 million of state dollars to put in new student housing, so they're using state monies and providing for the state, for the state's university campus. We said, wait a minute. We should have control of this. We, along with the trustees and this committee, and then reporting back to the legislature on what that plan is going to be, how it's going to be implemented, and what those dorms are going to look like, whether or not a public-private ship is appropriate, and if so, where, whether or not they're going to take up soccer fields to do this, and how it's going to proceed. So this is basically putting a halt on kind of where they were taking it and saying, before you can go down that road.
Oh, is that with the you're talking about, for instance, when some of the diagrams they showed, where was it, like on that rugby field or whatever it is?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And the types of buildings they're going to be, the quality of the buildings that they're going to be, and how they're going to do it. So basically we're just taking a little control back and to review and modify and approve what's going to take place. So this is the vehicle to accomplish that.
Is this a motion?
Yep, it is a motion.
Moved and seconded. John, you might have an opinion. I'll open the floor to you.
I do. As soon as he's done. No, it won't matter.
Mr. Chairman, the Board of Trustees received the report after it was presented to the JAC. The Board of Trustees had, certain members had similar or additional concerns. It may be appropriate to take a hard look before that much money is spent on housing that is intended to be 30 to 50 years housing going forward. So I think everybody taking a breath and getting a solid master plan to move housing forward makes a lot of logical sense, and it also makes sense not to stack construction projects on top of each other, so the timing will fit in with the other construction projects happening at UW. I will be glad to answer any questions. They may be my answers, not the Board of Trustees' answers.
You're speaking for the board, Chris. Do you want to?
No, I can speak for myself.
Oh, you're speaking for yourself.
I answered your question and straight up.
Yes, you did.
That's where we are.
The administration had an opinion.
Mr. Chairman, Chris Boswell from the University of Wyoming. I don't think the administration has an opinion on this proposal yet because we've just heard about it for the first time in the past few minutes, and I don't think I can offer an opinion.
Okay. You could have just said no. It was a yes-no question.
Mr. Chairman, I get paid by the word.
Oh, okay. Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, I changed my mind.
Okay, any other discussion on this amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I might raise one concern that...
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you about the shaded spots.
Mr. Chairman, before I hand it off to Ms. Reveille, the shaded spots, this some of the language came from legislators on and off this committee. Some of the language came from other interested individuals, and I did not want the legislators to be caught off guard with outside insertions. And in particular, we have no opinion on this, obviously, but the makeup of the board and how many legislators versus how many non-legislators, just wanted to highlight those that are non-legislators. No particular opinion on any of this, just a source of authorship.
Okay. Tamara?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, subsection H raises some concerns that legal review has noted that you might wish to be prepared to address on the floor or just want our advice on. And that's just that this subsection could be interpreted or challenged as possibly amending by reference or as a violation of separation of powers. And I raise those two issues because we're putting a moratorium on any property of any kind being sold, traded, or transferred until after adjournment of the 2019 legislative general session. There's already authority that's delegated to the Board of Trustees and through other legislation and statutes and how the architecture of their property looks like, what will be done, et cetera. And the other issue with separation of powers is just, again, that delegation and the involvement that this would bring in. At a minimum, I would suggest we add this to the title, and that can just be a conforming amendment to make sure the bill title is clear that we're imposing a moratorium on the expenditure of funds and disposition of property.
That's part of the title. Okay. So that would be friendly or conforming. Mm-hmm. I've got a question on Romanet 5, Romanet V. One member appointed by the governor with experience in providing large-scale private student housing in Laramie. What is that?
You mean other than micro?
I think that's from someone who has developed and worked in Laramie County community that's familiar with cost, scale, private housing.
Laramie County?
I'm the city of Laramie, in that vicinity. So it's just getting experience of people in the community, contractor, builders, who would then provide.
So wouldn't you want that person appointed by the city or the county rather than the governor?
No, because part of what his function is doing is political, not just providing information, because it'll be.
Well, I don't see any local input in here other than the university itself. I don't see any input from the city.
Add one.
Well, then that takes you up to an even number.
The governor can make that determination. My guess is that person will fit both categories.
All right. Any other discussion?
I do have one question. This has it terminating December 31st, 2018. And I think that ought to be at least go through session if they want to meet prior to session.
So you suggest June 30th?
Yeah, we might as well make it June 30th until of 2019.
Well, it ends on June 30th, 2019.
Yeah. Task force shall terminate. It says December 31st, 2018.
Where does it say that? Well, on the last page, on the top, it says.
That's the appropriation terminates.
Mr. Chairman, and that's not unusual where we have the board ending on one date and then the money reverting at the end of the fiscal year. But I think the co-chairman is suggesting in subsection F, strike December 31, 2018 and insert June 30th, 2019.
Is that a motion?
It is.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That passes. Any other amendments?
Question?
Question being called. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
That motion passes. Any other amendments? Don, you got anything else?
Mr. Chairman, we do not, although we would note that these amendments have been written in the past couple of days or hours. So we would ask that, as with other legislation, if there are any substantive issues, we bring those in the next 36 hours or so to the attention of the chairs. With that, Mr. Chairman, we would make all of the necessary conforming and reference changes.
All right. No, it's just understood. All right. With that, anything else to be said? Seeing none.
Before we adjourn, then.
Let's have a roll call on the vote on the bill. Don?
Mr. Chairman, the vote is on 18 LSO 0424, working draft 0.5, as amended. Representative Burkhart.
Aye.
Representative Larson.
Aye.
Representative Schwartz.
Aye.
Representative Summers.
Aye.
Representative Walters.
Aye.
Representative Wilson.
Aye.
Senator Dockstetter.
No.
Senator Driscoll.
No.
Senator Hastert. Senator Landon.
No.
Co-Chairman Nicholas.
Aye.
Chairman Burns.
No.
Mr. Chairman, the bill is not adopted.
Okay. You got anything else?
Do you want to talk about tomorrow morning before we adjourn?
Yeah. We meet at 8 a.m.
Okay. We just plan on being on it.
Yeah. And start on the budget amendments.
Yeah.
I've got a problem here with, because I was going to meet you guys at 7, but apparently I have to be at leadership. So I'm going to bug out of there. So I'll meet you guys at 7:30. All right? Let's meet in the 7:30. Let's meet in the, we'll meet in the Senate at 7:30 in Senate chambers. All right? I can't believe anything that leadership's going to say will keep my attention for more than a half hour. All right. Thank you.